Our scripture reading for our meditation this morning is taken from the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, verse 48, and Jesus says to his followers, "Everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, I was watching an interview with an African-American woman, and she and her entire family were at a large reunion on a plantation out in, I believe it was South Carolina. And as they were talking to her, she was explaining why she and her family were there, along with the Caucasian family that had originally owned this plantation way back in the 1800s. And she went on to explain that apparently the original owner of the plantation had purchased her great-great-great-grandfather as a slave. But he had treated him so well and so nice that the two families became such close friends. And apparently, this slave family had accommodations built for them that were almost as nice as the slave owner had for his own children. He started a school for them so that their kids could likewise grow up and learn just as his own children were taught. They were side by side in the school. And likewise, they had they would often eat their meals together. They had large feasts, and the two families shared everything in common. And she said that the reason our family loved this white family so much was because they treated us as if we were all part of the family. It was really kind of a unique situation. The benevolence, the kind-heartedness of the man who originally brought the family there to that property had sort of won them over, you might say. You and I, as believers in Christ, by God's grace, have been purchased out of the slavery to this world and the wickedness and sin of this world, and by God's grace have been given the gift of faith to be brought into a new kingdom, a benevolent kingdom, where God, our Heavenly Father, gives us the same status as his own Son, Jesus Christ. Through faith, we have the perfect, holy, righteous record before God. We are looked at as saints in the eyes of God, even though you and I know that's not how we live our lives. But God has granted us that status, purchasing us with the blood of his own Son. And he has the future plans of heaven for each one of us who believe in Christ. And he has set a feast in your future at the table of salvation in heaven, and plans to someday take you there when you leave this life. The same benevolent God who has purchased you and made you his own through faith in Christ and has now made you part of his kingdom also has work that he asks for you to do in your life. He has given you, if you will, a stewardship of your life. And he has called upon you to follow certain commandments of his out of his love and grace, motivated by that, motivated by his benevolence, that he asks you now to use. And each one of us sitting here who are faithful in Christ, each one of us has been given certain gifts and abilities and talents, have been blessed with a certain spot in the world and in world history so that God can utilize us to serve our fellow man with the various gifts that he has given us. Jesus, just a little bit before the text I just read, said this to his followers, "It is your Father's good will to give you the kingdom." Think what that means. It is your Father's good will. It's the good nature in God, our Heavenly Father's heart, to give you the kingdom of heaven that you belong to by faith. Now, some have been given more in the gifts of spiritual matters or even temporal gifts in this life. Some people, even in this sanctuary, have been blessed with more in certain places, others maybe a little less. But the expectation that God will place upon you in your life is in relation to the gifts that he has given you and the ways in which he has blessed you. The context of this little statement from Jesus comes right in the context of the parable that he tells about the faithful and wise steward. And that little parable, again, is this steward who is waiting for his master to return, and he's been asked to do certain things. And the faithful steward is the one that makes sure to take care of the things he's asked to do until the master finally comes back. But then Jesus talks, too, about one who has been asked to be a steward who doesn't really take care of the things that he's been asked to do. And we're told he will be treated harshly. A Norwegian pastor in the 1800s, writing about this text, said this: "In the entire matter of sanctification," that means how Christians should live their lives, "therefore a Christian will be alert at all times." Now, if you're like me, sometimes the temptation is to look out at other people and make judgments about them and how well they're doing with their lives, especially if they profess to be Christians. But God wants us to worry about here first. Number one consideration and concern on our heart should be here. How am I doing with this? How am I living my life, professing to be someone who belongs to this Savior, professing to be someone who's planning to go to heaven someday? How am I living my life? God would have us take personal inventory, each of us, in regard to what his word says and how his commands fit into our lives. Oh, I had a conversation with a man that his job was to go out and speak to people, Christians, about possibly supporting different types of mission work. And he'd have to go to their homes and have conversations with them and see if they'd be willing to give gifts. And he said, "I got so sick of hearing people say this to me. Boy, if God were to give me $1 million, I would really give a lot to the Lord." And he said, "I always wanted to say to him," he said, "I never did, but I always wanted to say to them, well, obviously God could care less about what you'd do with $1 million, or he would have given it to you by now. But what he wants to see is what you're going to do with what you have. He wants to see what you're going to do with the very gifts he has given you and he has blessed you with right now." When I was a pastor of a congregation, there were certain individuals in the church, and they weren't always the people who were financially wealthy. There were certain people in the church that I knew had the gift of generosity. And I would know to go to them and talk to them personally if there was some particular person that was in need to raise some funds to help them. There were certain people I could pick out and knew I could go to. And I remember there was one lady I would go to, and she used to say to me, "I want you to challenge me more." What an interesting statement. "I want you to challenge me more in regard to supporting the Lord and his work." So God distributes in the world, in among the believers in his church, various degrees of talents and skills and gifts and abilities and even strength of faith. And whatever he has blessed you with, he calls upon you to be a steward of those wonderful gifts. There's a joy that comes from this service. God promises grace and every blessing to all of those who keep his commandments, when that's done out of love for their Savior. It's important for us to remember that the one whom we serve in our lives as Christians is the one who has served us far greater than we could ever serve him. And that let that be the very thing that motivates you in your life. Don't let it be fear of punishment or fear of threat from God. Don't let it be out of a sense of just this obligation that you should feel. Let it be joy. Let it be joy when you think about how gracious your God has been to look at someone as wicked as me, as wicked as you, and to give us the holy, perfect status of saints through faith in Christ and the promise of going to heaven everlasting. And just think what kind of accommodations must be waiting for you there. Just think of the type of feast that you have been invited to attend on that final day. St. John says it well. "Oh, what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." Amen. Please rise for prayer. Today we offer a prayer on behalf of Hal Tesh He is the father of Estelle Vlieger from our admissions department, and Hal is presently suffering with terminal cancer and is very near death. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, at your invitation, we approach your throne on behalf of your servant, Hal Tesh. We are grateful for the wonderful knowledge of salvation which you have given him throughout his life, and pray that this precious truth would now comfort him and the members of his family in his final days. Give him a deep confidence in the promises of your saving word, and when his final hour shall come, grant him a safe departure from this life. Teach all of us to number our days, that we may gain hearts of wisdom through the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who holds the power over the grave. We pray this in his saving name. Amen. Please also join me on page 160 in the front part of the hymn book. Page 160, there is a prayer. We call them a collect, number 99. These prayers that were, many of them came from the very early Christian church, were often called collects because they collected the thoughts of everybody in the congregation in their prayers. So prayer or collect number 99. Please join me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have bountifully given us your blessing and our daily bread. We beseech you, preserve us from covetousness, and so enliven our hearts that we willingly share your blessed gifts with our needy brethren, that we may be found faithful stewards of your gifts and abide in your grace, when we shall be removed from our stewardship and shall come before your judgment. Through your Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.